and breathe, and you can then breathe.
That's what I have to start here. Inhale, exhale. It's 45 minutes all together. I'm like, wow. But we're here. It's so lovely to see you, friend.
No, I can't remember the last time I saw you.
Yeah, like in real kind of, it's been, I'm trying to think about it. Got it? I've got my little updates coming in. I'm trying to think. Had to be something like, 2007, 2008, maybe. Maybe we saw
Before
each other.
you
Oh
go
no,
to
we probably, sorry.
you moved to Spain, I think.
Yeah, I was in Spain, but I think I might have seen you at a convention or something after that while I was here in the US, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've
So
never
see.
been to it. Anyway, it's been a long time. And we used to meet for lunch in Cambridge, didn't we?
You went to lunch in Cambridge? How lovely.
No, we used to. Do you remember? We used to meet.
Yes. Yes, I
Yeah.
do remember that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So good to have you guys join us. And we are also potentially streaming live, so if anybody sees us, and you guys can share it too. So Maria and I haven't seen each other for absolutely yonks yet at time.
Hi,
Sarah.
Sarah.
There we go.
There we go. This is how it's supposed to work.
There we
Oh.
go. So in case you didn't know, so Maria and I think we joined the Les Mills team 1999, 2000. Way back then, Maria joined for Body Combat and I joined for Body Balance. And we've done some trainer summits together. We've been to New Zealand for filming together. And we also, I remember in the early days, had lots of conversations about yoga
Yeah.
and how it wasn't a fit at the time for you. But then you ended up going down the yoga training route in 2001. The same teacher that I trained with, Paul. And just so you know, Maria, I've started seeing Paul again for
You
the lesson.
have.
Yes, I have.
Excellent.
Once he looks the same. He looks exactly the same. He also tells me that I need to trust the flow more. It says transition periods, Anthony. It can take you. It'll probably take you a year. I was like, oh, great, thanks.
Wow.
So, but then you then went on and trained with the International Association of Yoga Therapists.
Yeah.
So you've gone down that route, and you're back in the US now. You've been
Yeah.
back in the US how many years? Quite a few.
On Halloween, on October 31st, it was 13 years now. Can you believe that? Yeah, 13 years. I can't even believe it. Yeah, it's gone very quickly. It's been extremely eventful. We still pine leaving Europe because we were there in our formidable years. We made a lot of friends and family and work colleagues. So it was hard to adjust for a hot minute, but yeah, we're settled, but we still think that it's quite possible we'll return and kind of chill out there. Yeah, I know.
What, Europe?
Definitely. We're like, yes. So we want to return, definitely. So and it's lovely here. We came back because my father he was much older now, and it's very close, we think. He's 91, and he's quite ill. So we just wanted to be here for him. And and of course family, but
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, no, I lost my dad because he would have been 95. So yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. It's good. He's not suffering anymore. So thank you for jumping on the call. It was very like off the cuff.
It definitely was. I'm such a get prepared type of person, so this did throw me for a hot second, but and because I use Zoom fairly regularly, so this shouldn't be an issue, but it might have popped in some updates or something. Oh, and true, my phone got stolen, so there's little glitches still figuring out to install things that I didn't use. And never mind, we're here.
You're here. So for those of you that are on the call, or if you're watching, if anyone's watching live, then feel free to pop any questions you got, and especially if you're not able to stay, and if you've got any questions, then pop them in. And if we don't get around to answering them, should you leave, then we'll look at them as well after. Okay, so thank you for being here. So if we go back, Maria, way back when, yoga, I remember you saying that yoga wasn't a fit for you back then. Why was that? Why is there, and even today, why is there this belief that yoga isn't a fit? Oh, you can't mute. You're on mute.
Must have accidentally hit that. At that time, I have my faith, and everybody who was teaching yoga around me was very kind of into the Hindu kind of aspect of it. And I just thought, oh no. And then you believe people, don't you? Oh no, it's a Hindu religion, and you don't want to do that. You have faith, you can't chant to other gods. And I thought, look, I don't want any part of this. I just don't want any part of this. I can't. And so, but me being me, we had this conversation. And I thought, I need to explore this because I don't quite understand why thousands of people are teaching yoga, but I see different things happening. So I went ahead and explored that. And I'm not sure what was the pivot point or the transition that made me to kind of like think, well, no, I think I can actually do this. And I think I had a conversation with Paul. And I just searched. I remember just kind of a little way back now. So I remember searching, and I think at the same time, very close to it, they were launching Body Flow. Do you remember that? And so that was such a beautiful program. It helped me to go further. But in that transitional point, I just thought, I want to see for myself. I want to check it out myself. And that's when I discovered that that yoga is not a religion. And I guess the viewpoint is that yes, it was developed thousands of years ago by the Hindu people. It was something that they developed for a particular purpose, but when they wanted to meditate and they wanted to reach the divine, it was their divine. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's everybody else's divine, but it was a vehicle to do that, which was a clear separation of from religion. And there's more information to that as we move on, but that was really inspiring for me and a way to kind of navigate and thread the needle to learn this wonderful practice and learn the science of it, but still hold on to my faith.
Because you were, I mean, your faith was a key thing, for me, ever since I've known you. And I also remember saying, but Maria, it's me teaching it, and you know me.
That
And you
is it. That
politely
is it.
declined.
That is it. That is it. Thank you for that, because I remember we were so immersed in it, and it was you. It literally was you. It was you. That you just said, let just come in. I remember that transition, like I tell you, there was a way back. And I remember you said, just come and practice with me, come and learn with me. And that's the transition point. Sorry, guys, senior moment for sure. And that was you did very, very skillfully persuade me to check it out. At which point I started to investigate as well. But it had nothing to do, it was completely, completely something else. And it was wonderful. So yeah, thank you for that. I remember that now.
Do you still find, even today, so for example, when I started teaching classes in the local area where I live, and I was looking for like village halls and to run classes from, this is only about like 9 8 9 years ago, and directly opposite my house is a church, and they said no to me. They said, if you called it a stretch class, it's fine. but it cannot be called yoga. It's literally like across the house, across the road. And I was like, oh, how convenient. And they wouldn't. So do you find that that's still the case? Perhaps,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes, but I think it depends on the church, because I have connected with religious organizations, and they would say, exactly as you said, as long as you call it a stretch class, and even in a senior, I think it was a senior living facility, as long as you call it a stretch class, then because we had an elderly population, and if it was yoga, they wouldn't do it, but if it was a stretch class, they would. So I had to change it to a stretch class and mildly introduce certain things so that they could say, oh, this is yoga. And I would hear them saying, oh, this is yoga. Oh. So that was a very interesting thing. However, in the more modern churches, they actually, have people pass by and say, oh yeah, I go to a yoga class down the. So the mindset is changing, but I think it just depends on it's a generational thing, and a location thing.
Do you feel, I mean, you've obviously, got yoga to work with you and your beliefs, How have you kind of made that connection, I guess, Because some people might say that it's not compatible with Christian beliefs practicing yoga. How have you managed to do that for yourself?
Well, it was quite strong because, as you know, that when I guess it depends on the type of yoga that you're taught. But I was very fortunate in that I read the Yoga Sutras. That's where I went through. I went through the Yoga Sutras, and there's nothing about religion in it.
No.
And it was all, it was very profound. I remember writing like crazy in all the margins. And I was just like all this kind of inspiration and revelation because how closely it connected with scripture in terms of not scripture per se, like the Bible, but concepts. And it made me, it kind of, it was very simplified for me to see that if I fix me, I'm better equipped to deal with others. And once I'm able to deal with others, I could be more kind of like balanced and try to focus with the divine. Didn't say who's divine, but my divine. And that was very liberating. And it allowed me to move forward because I could see clearly in this text that it was not about religion, but about self-improvement, a change of thinking, a mindset, a perception of oneself in the world and in the universe, and are you okay with you? And moving from being okay with you and fixing the issues that prevent you from having good relationships with other and dealing with others well made me actually more driven to study the Bible. So it was for me personally, and it had nothing to do with, and then of course with our experiences using the science to be a good yoga teacher. Yeah. So that was interesting. That liberated me to say I don't have to do these things, other things, but I can really focus on the science, and I can really focus on the anatomy, and I can really focus on the well-being of the person and how I handle them. And how I handle their mind space and their heart space while they're trying to do something that for some is really, really hard. It worked out really quite beautifully that way. And I never felt threatened about my faith or anything. I stuck to the science and to how I was as a person when I was navigating it and dealing with people. And it's proved to be a beautiful experience and has helped me immensely in my physicality, in my life, health recovery, and with people when I teach.
Have you found then that it's yoga practice itself has helped you with your relationship, with your faith, or deepened your faith? Because I remember my very first yoga teacher in the Vinyasa yoga tradition was a lovely gentleman. He was a Quaker, and he actually said that he practiced yoga because it actually prepared him for prayer much better. And I was fascinated, at the time. I was like, oh wow. And I didn't know much about, that particular denomination at all. But he said, yeah, he said he would practice yoga and it would set him up for prayer so much better than if he didn't. So have have you found that it's helped you?
Absolutely, yes. It's the same because I remember the premise of yoga in the very beginning when it was created. It was created so that people were strong enough to pray and to meditate. It was a way, it was a vehicle to strengthen the body for people to sit. That is how it was birthed. That really stuck with me. And so, with that, there are times when we have silence, shavasana, or a breathing practice, and I'm able to just take that moment and connect with God and to pray and to breathe into it and have my like little prayer breaths. And it does bring me closer to just stillness and that kind of awareness. I usually pray like before that sometimes, like today, because I was hoping that we wouldn't have any issues. I think it will work itself out. But yes, in one nutshell, yes, it does help me with that.
So do you find that, because we know that, I mean, yoga itself, there's the physical practice, there's breath work, there's meditation, but then there are also different approaches to yoga, right? There's so many, and these days there's so many more different ones. Do you think that there are specific types of yoga that are perhaps more suitable for people of faith than others?
I think that there probably is, although I have to say, I don't really, there are so many that it's very hard to kind of keep track on what's going on. And here in the US, it is all about physicality. So to be honest, you can jump into any yoga class because it's very rare that, okay, bye, Charlie. So it's very rare that you find classes that are very strong in say meditation or a breath practice or chanting. So it's very unique and bespoke. So from what I experience, I can go into a dozen classes and it's more about the practice. So conversely, on the opposite side, it misses everything. It just goes straight into the practice, which is kind of sad. But I think overall that's where we are at the moment. It's more on just the practice and maybe not even just stopping and having that stillness. And I'm not saying everybody, but a lot, because we have so many gyms here as well. So they outnumber yoga studios by the thousands.
I think the pandemic hasn't helped. I think a lot of studios have closed down because
Yes.
of the pandemic as well. So what are your thoughts and feelings about chanting? I personally don't do any chanting in my classes. I love it personally. But the chanting that I do is, we've trained with the same teacher, so it's more Yoga Sutra chanting, as opposed to Hindu chants, if you like. Don't use the word, don't use om and stuff either. Certainly when I did my teacher training, we didn't use om. So what are your thoughts and feelings about that?
I would mirror exactly what you said. And so when we practiced, we had to be able to chant the Yoga Sutra. So yeah, I did that. You had to kind of have the linguistic piece and try to learn how to read it and that sort of thing. But when they started to go into like, the mantras and all this kind of stuff, I declined. I wouldn't do it. When they were doing an om, I wouldn't om. I just hum, just a deep, just vibration for myself, just a slow hum. And so I won't do it. And there's no reason that I should. There's no reason that anybody should, because it's not about that. And so I don't include them in my practice. Maybe we do breath sounds, good, variations on the Ujjayi breath. Even if they really wanted it, it would be a tonal hum thing, or I would use a sound healing tools like a bowl or a singing bowl or a triangle or that kind of stuff for that kind of like vibration. But I won't, it's not necessary. If there is that is what somebody really wants, then they need to seek that out and find the right teacher for them if that's what they want. But in my classes, I try to make it comprehensive. I try to bring concepts to help them to focus on where they are mentally and physically, and how to nurture good positive thoughts and things that help towards their wellness and positivity, and maybe realization about issues that might be like bothering them, like release that, whatever it may be, that sort of thing. Like release that. Let's go into a breathing practice. Maybe think about using a word like in an inhale and an exhale, something like, something very basic like fresh air in, toxins out, this sort of things, in their mind as they breathe, or maybe think of a positive word that's important to them and then breathe out what they don't want, or just to be still and think of the most beautiful place they've ever been, and to meditate in that space. And I'll even say, if you like to pray, pray. And if you just want to have silence, have silence. But I do try to navigate, like thread the needle, not to just to do that, because it's not necessary,
Yeah, I think my feeling is that, yoga has come from the Indian subcontinent for, thousands of years, and so it's, if the right word is, enmeshed itself with the culture and with the religion of the Indian subcontinent. And I think what happens sometimes with the yoga world is that we kind of see yoga and all the Indian cultural traditions, including the religion, as one thing, when actually they're not, they're separate. And so, so I can take that and like, I think chanting is a whole different thing, isn't it? Because it's about vibration. So therefore the pronunciation is meant to be accurate and everything else. But there's a whole world of chanting that is yoga chanting as opposed to religious chanting as well, that I think people seem to kind of just, oh, that's a lovely chant and I'll just bring it in, when, it's not just, you might not only have Christians in your room, you might have Muslims in your room, or other faiths as well. So I think we just need to, I think I'd like to navigate things a little bit more cautiously. And like you say, it's more about the vibration and sound, and I can, if I'm choosing to do that, then I can use different means and not necessarily a Ganesha chant or whatever it is. So
Right. Exactly that. There's a world of things that we can do that can create a lovely space for sound. There's so many tools, and humming. I mean, if you can pick pitches of a hum, it is really beautiful because it's quite profound on the body. And then just sometimes just listening to a strong vibration or sound is very healing, and it's very nourishing, mentally, I think. And I wouldn't have believed it until I experienced it. I've been in one of those sound healing classes. Not one of them, several, but in one in particularly, it was really quite nourishing and you just don't have to do anything, nothing go on except sound, which is quite beautiful. So that encouraged me to kind of pivot in that direction a little bit to create sound. So it takes a little practice though, because music's not my jam.
I do think it has to be done well. I remember being in a room with someone who was using tuning forks, and they just finished, their training, and it was during a lunch break, and she kind of says, "If anybody's got a, any injuries, like I want to practice." And so someone said, "I've got a knee issue," and I was in the room, and it was just so funny because, and it's all about vibration, and she used several different tuning forks. But then the one that she settled on for this person's knee, I had to leave the room. I thought I was going to scream. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And the only other time I had exactly the same feeling was that I just finished university. I was in the north of England and I went to, I think it was Ripon Abbey. And I
Okay.
went, and the minute I went inside, and the further into the abbey we went, even down it, when my boyfriend at the time says, "Oh, let's go look at the crypt," I took one step down the stairs and I was like, "I'm gonna scream!" Like literally, I had that feeling again, and I legged it. I just like ran out this abbey, and the minute I opened the doors, that feeling just dropped. It was just incredible, and I don't know what it was.
What was that?
I don't know, but it was obviously some sort of vibration.
Bye, sorry.
Any questions? If you watch the replay, just put it in. So, but yeah, and it was exactly the same. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I could just feel this clenching, and I just like, I gotta go. And I think that's why I think sound healing or sound therapy, there's so much more to it, I think,
There
than just,
is, there is, and
what we
it is tricky. It is very, very tricky. So I think it's just learning the sound waves and what they're good for, and to pick the right tools and the right sequences for the right situation. So that's a journey I have to just work on. So I've got all the tools and it's beautiful, but you have to learn from people and you have to take training and you have to consider, be very careful how you introduce. And so, but so right now it's just teaching as always. And yeah, I'm thinking about things that we did back in the past, and it's all like flooding back and all these little memories coming back, and how beautiful it was and how encouraging it was. Yeah, that really helped me to explore, and I didn't miss out on this over the years, which is quite, really quite nice.
How do you find, like, have you've obviously been to other yoga studios and lots of other things over the years where you've participated in workshops or classes or anything like that? And we know that there's some teachers out there who do bring in, the more religious Hindu side of things, either consciously or unconsciously. And studios that might have statues of Shiva and lots of other things around. How have you, how do you feel about that? And how do you deal with it?
Well, if there are classes that kind of go into that, I don't go. But you can't really kind of avoid, like the yoga studio I'm in right now. They thought it would be kind of cool to put up a little like a worship table with all the little things and the incense and like a couple of statues and there's a Buddha on the wall and Shiva on this wall and painted there and inside their therapy rooms. And I think, well, you know what? The room, the yoga room itself, is just patterns and color. And I just avoid it, and nobody pays attention to it really. So if I go to a yoga class and it's highly in that space, I tend not to stick because I mean, I have enough challenges focusing already. But for the most part, I have found that yoga studios, maybe not yoga studios, but the yoga classes that are in gyms and in centers and in wherever they have them, tend to be more like traditional breathing practice, the practice, some history on it, and just the basics. They sometimes they go into this other space with chants and things, and I just let them get on with it, and I use that time to pray, because it's like I need protection. I need to be guarded right now. Can you know? And so I just pray and I stay in my space, because that literally is there's a bunch of people evoking something else, and it's like no, I'm going to do my thing here silently, in the back, quietly, just kind of enjoying the practice, but not participating in the chant or the theory process that's going on at that time. But it's very rare. It's very rare. And because I'm very busy and busy doing whatever I'm doing, you, however, usually on training, because you did mention training, trainings tend to be, if they're offshoots like maternity or for veterans or for whatever, it's very technical. There and I think that's another reason why I'm more focused in the therapy, because it is literally, it's no joke. It's not about religion, it is purely the science. It's all about the science. So I find myself gravitating to those so I could stay on point with issues, medical issues, psychological issues, you know, these sorts of things, which are all science-based, and so they don't tend to venture into that area.
Yeah, I remember speaking to my pastor about this, and he was saying the thing is, he's like, but if you're strong enough in your faith, it does, you can actually be there and appreciate the culture. He says, like, I think he mentioned something about the Bible as well, about someone was working for somebody and had to go back. I can't remember, and he says it's okay because you're not. As long as you know you're strong enough in your own faith. Look, I've got a thumbs up on my screen. So it's really coming back to, I guess, with the yoga practice, it's about, and you mentioned it earlier on, it's about your relationship with yourself and how well do you know yourself, isn't it? And how well you are and how strong you are mentally, emotionally, and all of that. I guess for me, having been brought up and grew up in a multicultural country and society, that I can still respect and have and appreciate people of different cultural backgrounds,
Right.
and their traditions, if you like, but not having to buy into it myself.
Correct.
So it's kind of that. But I remember speaking to my partner and I were in Bali once a few years ago, not this year, but quite a few years ago. And there was a vegan fair, like the biggest Bali vegan festival on. And there was an American
Yum.
vegan activist. And someone asked him and says, can you, like, when you go out for meals, how can you sit with meat eaters? And he says, but, I see it as a great opportunity to actually have an open, honest discussion with them about my beliefs, listen to their beliefs, and then, either agree to disagree, or maybe they'll be open to veganism. And so I kind of think, oh, it's the same, isn't it, with your belief in faith. Anne, you've got a question, comment?
Yeah, I was just really, really interested in all of this. My teacher was a Buddhist, as is a Buddhist, and he says to me quite often, all these experiences are opportunities, and it's your job to inquire, and you have your belief. And you're inquiring with an open mind and looking at all sides and breathe through it. So I thought what you said about sometimes you go to a yoga class and there's a spiritual aspect to it through chanting or whatever it is, but we have our own beliefs or the way that the culture that we come from. So I don't feel that I can use all of that sort of thing because it's not my culture. So I don't feel respectful. I don't know enough of it. It's not in my bones. But there are other things which, from my soul, from what I know, my inner teacher, I can listen, have compassion, and it enlightens, but I don't need to go with that. So I thought that was interesting. Sorry, now
No.
waffling.
Oh no, that's
No,
amazing.
it's
That
great.
is exactly right. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful because we don't know. We don't know whether we don't know where people are standing, and it's good to kind of respect that and to be in fellowship with them. But that doesn't mean we have to like partner with them. It's just that we understand them better, right?
And
And
then when you were saying about the veganism, why are you sitting with the vegans if you're a meat eater or whatever? But we all share. We are sisters and brothers, and finding the divides and the barriers, and that's not what we're about. We're about looking at everybody as part of, as one, and having respect for all, whether they eat
exactly.
meat or not, going back to the veganism.
Even like
Thank you for
maybe
this discussion.
this week we met up with, I don't know his title, I think he's like the pastoral assistant or something at the church, and we met up with him for coffee, and he says like nowadays, like all he wants to do is hang out with other Christians, and when he gets invited to parties with his older friends, he's like, I don't want to go, I don't want to do drugs, I don't want to, like all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, but then he says, but hang on a minute, who am I to decide and who am I to judge when here I have an opportunity to be with these people and maybe, open their eyes to a different view of the world, And he says, I always end up having a great time anyway when I go. I don't do the drugs, I don't do all of that, but we have great conversations. And I thought, well, it's the same situation here, isn't it? Really, it's been
Isn't
similar.
that what we're supposed to do, though? Have conversations? It's being accepting and have these conversations, whether it's through yoga, through faith, or through mutual interests and that sort of thing. Because how can we have a unity worldwide unless we get to know each other? And so that's a very, very interesting point and very important point.
Being able to because I think we're losing the ability to, over the last, few years, we've noticed that there's more of a divide where people can't just have a conversation, an adult
Yeah.
conversation. And then actually, if you choose to disagree in the end, you can still agree to disagree in the end, but we can still have conversations and look at the world through someone else's eyes, I think. So, yeah. Cool. I don't think there are any questions on Facebook. Those of you watching on Facebook, if there's any questions, you can. I've got a couple of comments saying finding this incredibly interesting. Have you got any questions, Anne, for us? And Susie's kind of listening in from work, probably, and I'm looking at some of the
Ooh,
questions.
unmuting. Sorry, I just think it's fascinating, and it's a difficult subject. I've been teaching yoga for a long, long time, and my background is a Christian, but yet being taught by a Buddhist and studying religions at university. All of the, and what's going on now in Israel and Palestine, all of these things, it's just a really fascinating time. But this subject is quite a difficult one to confront. And I work in elderly folks' homes, and I've had boycotts of going to my classes because it's yoga. And then I just came in as a non-yoga person and spent time with everybody, and they were going, oh, well, actually, we quite think you're okay. So can we do those yoga classes? I was like, oh yeah, okay then. So brilliant. Now we've got full classes. And it was about having trust in the person that they weren't going to be doing weird things. And breathing is the basis, and quiet, finding a practice which works for people to quieten the mind and find the pause in their busy times and to sit with each other in comfort. Yeah, so I think people have construed ideas of what yoga is and whether that fits with Christianity, and it's there are ways of being which are Christian within the yoga philosophy, and vice versa, I feel. But it's difficult to talk about because you're always worried and fearful what other people might think of your ideas or how you approach things, or you know, what the church might be thinking that we're doing in the church hall, all of that sort of thing. So it's having a trust and a mutual respect, I think. It's important. And I think it's brilliant having these chats. So thank you both for hosting it.
That's great. Thank you for your input because it's so true on all those aspects. Our experiences as a Christian person teaching yoga, what we encounter along the way, and the thoughts and the things that are said to us. And you do have to build a relationship to say, just like Ansi did with me way, 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 way back when, like this is what it is, what it can be, and you can make the decision for yourself. Which was fantastic for me. It was an opportunity, opened it up for me. Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
More conversations and you know open honest conversations and really yeah
We're going to see what happens, though. I mean, maybe send a prayer up for me because I popped in. We have a new campus pastor at our church. And we were talking about something. And then I said, oh, Friday, I got to go teach. I got to go do something. And he says, what's that? I said, oh, I teach yoga. Now, oh, dude, I've been doing this kind of stuff for like forever. And he just kind of looks over. He goes, I'm going to talk. And I'm like, oh, no. And day before yesterday, he says, look, he says, what I'd like to do for the new year is to actually bring all the leadership together that actually are involved with fitness one way or another. We have PTs, we have doctors, we have that kind of stuff, and teachers and weightlifting, whatever. And he says, I'd like to kind of put something together to bring hope into everybody here who wants to do better for the new year in their health and fitness. And I was like, well, you had me on look. I'll do that. And I remember I wanted to say to them, hey, I'll do a yoga class one day a week. That sort of thing. But I said, but something told me, no, wait, if it's something they want and they know you, they'll come to you and ask you. And that I think that time has arrived. Bye. So that time has arrived. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of exciting. So I don't know where that will lead, but I know that I'm going to put some things together, some input together, whether that's yoga or just general fitness, that sort of thing. And so I can contribute into this soiree of how to develop a plan in-house to help people feel better about their health and their fitness and how they can enter the new year in a more positive manner. Because he was thinking some people probably lose hope. I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. I can't change the way I am. But maybe it's just a mindset to be, maybe more content to where you are and just make improvements. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Next phase.
But I think, you know, there's so much, and I think because there's so much that yoga can offer, you know, for well-being across the board, right? Physical as well as mental and emotional well-being, that it's definitely worth having conversations with people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Even for myself, if things have happened, I've had surgeries and whatever. And I go, when I'm able to, I start right away back into yoga, and it's changed everything. There's a doctor, I said, don't you dare do this. And I thought you gave up and you can't do this. I said, never going to happen. I'm going to do it. And it's changed everything. Yeah, really, really has. So, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. It's 4 o'clock here. I know we started.
I am so sorry, everyone, for being late, but we navigated past the technical issues.
It's all meant to be. So, thank you so much, Maria. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you that I get to spend time with you again and to meet other people, to see Sarah, and to talk about probably my top most fave subject, and it's faith. Anytime I can talk about faith with people, I'm in. I'm all in. And so, and especially if it's around this as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I feel like I'm really on the start of my journey, you know, but yeah, we'll see where it goes. Yeah. But Susie, thank you. So for those of you that are watching, perhaps the replay, if you're going to be watching this on the replay on Facebook, then, you know, any questions, please just type it in the comments and, you know, we can, between Maria and I, we can have a look and help and answer if we can, and have a conversation. And yeah, thank you so much.
Love to have a conversation. Thank you. Yeah.
And if you're ever back in Europe.
Yes, when we come back, because I visit all the time, often, but it's visiting family. So my daughter, she's in Germany. So we always pop in there, and I've got friends all over. And I think if we go back to stay, definitely be knocking on your door. Hey, Ansi, let's go have some lunch. Let's go.
You should do. Paul Harvey's an hour's drive from me.
Really?
Paul Harvey, those of you listening, Paul Harvey's our teacher. Yeah, I went to see him. Like, I see him for 2.5-3 hours because obviously of the drive. And the last session I had with him, he said, I'm feeling you're going through a transition period.
That's Harvey. That's Paul. That's Paul. Yeah.
But he said he, when he stopped everything, you know, like when he stopped delivering the training and stuff, he went through a transition period, and his sister took him 3 years.
I believe it.
He says, you know, give yourself a year. He says, you know, and be okay with it.
Is he now not doing anything, just running his page, updating his website, that program?
Yeah, it's interesting. He says I don't tell, when people ask me what I do for a living, he says, I don't tell them I'm a yoga teacher. He says, because, you know, there's so many connotations of what a yoga teacher is. He says, and he just does one-to-one. Because he says you can't really teach well in a group setting.
Wow.
You know, so, when I started with him, and that's when I then started to go to church as well. And, you know, this year is like an interesting journey for me.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, when you see him, give him a heartfelt hello from me. I probably would have been doing a gabillion one-to-ones with him if I were close by. Things just, you know, didn't quite work out that way, but hopefully I get to see him before too long. That'd be nice.
He's doing well. He looks the same, a little grayer, you know. But he's still, you know, walking lots and very active still and stuff.
Oh, that's great. I'm constantly seeing how he's updated his website. I go in there so many times. Oh, let me look at that. Let me have a little reminder of what this is. I don't want to go in my notebook. What's going on here? Yeah. So that's really cool. I'm so glad he's doing well. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, that's great.
And I'm glad you're doing well. And and we will in touch.
Let's not leave it so long again. And thank you for this opportunity. And so, so all the best laid plans of mice and men. We got there, and it's been really kind of fun to do. And if any time anybody has that question, it's easy to navigate. And I'm glad I did it. And thank you for that. It was very helpful. And did you point me to Paul? Were you the one who pointed me to Paul?
I trained with Paul. Then you ended up training with Paul. Ivan, my ex, trained with Paul. Michelle Turner Davison, I don't know if you remember her. She trained
We
with
were
Paul as
together.
well. You were in the same group. Yeah, so you, yeah, because of that.
That was amazing. It was amazing. It was the best thing I could have like done in that way. It made all the difference. I'm not sure that I would have carried on if it was a different modality, if it was a different type of yoga. I don't think I could have carried on, but this
Yeah.
was suitable for me in and perfectly lined me up for therapy, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Cool.
so okay.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time and your feedback.
I'll see you again.
I'll give
Bye,
you lots
Mary.
of love.
Lots of love. Take it easy. I love that.
Thank
Bye.